Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 24th of June, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were firmer. That spilled over into the European stock markets, which received, where gains were quite good, actually. We saw gains approaching and even exceeding 3% in some instances. They were helped in Europe by an early rally on Wall Street, which was pretty good. That then faded and ended with mixed results. The S&P was up nearly 6, but it was still, well, the futures are trading more than 11 off the high. Dow was down a little bit, 23 points. The NASDAQ composite had the best gain, up 1.5%. Excuse me, just need a little drink of water. Okay, elsewhere. The U.S. bond market was pared back a little bit following the Fed's statement. The gilts and bunds, however, continued to rally despite the strength of their respective stock markets. The dollar was a little bit easier early on, but then staged a quite brisk rally. And for instance, the euro had rallied up to 141.38, but it's currently 2 cents below that at 139.28, and that's down 148 on the day. The Antipodean currencies, however, were a little stronger than the dollar here today. Precious metals swung around, choppy action. When the dollar was a little bit weaker and Wall Street stronger, they did very well. Gold at one stage was up at 942. It's $10 below that right now, but that's still up 6.25 on the day. Crude oil got back up nearly to 70 before falling back again, currently 68.50. The industrial metals were very strong, led by nickel, big upper dynamic. Back up to 15,500. That's up $890 on the day. And the agricultural commodities, I think, were a bit mixed. I haven't really studied this closely, however. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets, we've got this choppy action, ranging activity, uncertainties increasing. Everybody can see that most of the uptrends have rolled over. Those that haven't tend to be in the China sphere, and China has been very firm in here again today. So the China leash effect really remains quite positive, and that has a big influence regionally, but it's also reaching beyond the Asian shores, and that's something we can expect to increase on a year-by-year basis, that as China's stock market continues to grow much more rapidly than the U.S. grows, that China and China's stock market will continue to grow in importance. There's still a long way to go because the Chinese economy is what, I think it's only, I'm going to guess here now, about a third of the U.S. economy, maybe less. But it is already the world's third largest economy, and it's going to surpass Japan probably next year and become the world's second largest economy. And it's the trend that counts, because, as we all know, China's growth rate is very, very strong. The U.S. is currently mired in recession, and it's going to stay there for a while, and the recovery, economic recovery, is likely to be fairly feeble. How many investors have taken that on board? He asks rhetorically. Well, I think many Fuller Money subscribers have, but not so many beyond that. The other economy that's doing very well is India, and people are raising their growth forecasts for India following the election, saying that without the influence of so many minority coalition parties, particularly without the communists, that India will have more of a pro-growth economy, and I think that's inevitably going to be the case. So that's good news for investors overall, and really for global leadership and global GDP growth. Well, it's all China and India right now, as others struggle with their recessions. China and India also have plenty of problems of their own, but they pale in comparison to many other countries, as you, I'm sure, are aware. Now, what about the stock market correction? Certainly, we've had a reaction for a number of markets, and so I feel partially vindicated in the forecast. And this could easily turn into a full-blown correction. There's no guarantee it will. That's not a hedge. But the reason I say that is that, in my view, and very much in the Fuller Money view, that monetary policy trumps everything else more often than not. Monetary policy is exceedingly accommodative, and it's going to remain so, I think, for really quite some time. And I won't really begin to worry about stock markets until we see that monetary policy is very clearly tightening. Now, the fear of tightening, say people say, well, the US might raise interest rates in the fourth quarter. And then a number of people come out and write articles saying, no, don't do that. Well, that type of speculation will wax and wane. But when they show us the color of their money, or when they remove some of their money, more accurately, that's when we do need to worry about this global stock market cycle. That doesn't mean, of course, that we can chase trends higher, because inevitably chasing trends higher means that we get caught in shakeouts, reactions, corrections. But it does mean that the overall environment for global stock markets is positive. My concern, as you know, is that they'd run ahead too quickly, and we're therefore susceptible to this reaction and consolidation. And I also felt that we were quite likely to see a phase of extended base formation extension among the largely Western OECD country stock markets, and that could still be the case. So that's the risk. It doesn't mean that it will happen, but it means you've got a choppy environment right now, and I would be a little bit cautious in here. That said, I covered some shorts, as you'll see when you look at the comment of the day copy. What else is going on here? These long-dated government bonds, I'm really, I mean, it's too soon to say that the technical rallies are over. I think that pretty well sums it up. But I think they're very much technical rallies. Remember, long-term interest rates are still quite low, although they rose sharply prior to the recent technical reaction. And if you look at the futures prices, you see these large overhanging top formations. If you look at the interest rates, you'll see base formation development. So I think the long-term trend, I maintain that the long-term trend for long-dated government bond yields is upwards, but That doesn't mean they can't mess around for a fairly long time, because first we've seen the quantitative easing, and we may get a little bit more. And also, the inflationary pressures, at least as reported by the government, are likely to be fairly subdued for a while yet. In currencies, I'm not looking for anything more than just a technical rally here by the US dollar, and it's a rally that I choose not to play. I'd love to see it carry a little bit further, push back up underneath the top formations, or depending on which way you look at it, to see some of the currencies that I really do like the New Zealand and Australian dollars, for instance, or even the euro, nestle back down into their base formations. If they don't do that, if they continue to move higher, then we will get more jawboning from respective central banks. And we saw a little bit of that earlier in the month. So we can expect a primarily ranging pattern, I think, for currencies for now, for a while. That's normal. Eventually, though, I think that ranging activity, this little ranging recovery we're seeing for the dollar, will turn more into just a sideways ranging activity, and then eventually that the dollar will break down against most other currencies, in my view. Precious metals, I mentioned that they're in an accumulation zone. I bought a little bit more here today, going back into platinum. I didn't time it very well because I did it before the dollar firmed up quite a bit, but I'm buying back considerably below where I purchased it. I beg your pardon, considerably below where I sold out previously. So, and also it's nestled down into an area of potential support. And I don't think I'll have to wait too long or suffer too much risk in here, because the industrial metals were very strong today. But another word on platinum, just from a trading standpoint, the one thing that irritates me always is you've got a $5 spread with the spread bet firms that I use for tax efficiency. Whereas gold is a dollar or less, depending on the price. Silver can be pricey at around 4 cents, but is also extremely volatile. The dealing costs are higher, I'm trying to say here, in terms of trading platinum. But it's an important metal, and it's an attractively priced metal, in my view. Now, I was very interested today to see the surge in some of these, well, in just about all of the industrial metals. I mentioned in my introduction the nickel. I hold a little bit of nickel. Pity I didn't buy more yesterday or on Monday. I did buy a little bit more zinc, and that didn't look like such a hot idea, but it had a good day in here today. And the overall patterns are really quite attractive. And what these upper dynamics that we see for zinc and nickel do today is it's sort of drawn a line on the charts, and it's likely to encourage more people to come in and buy, and to deter short sellers, in my opinion. And I do maintain that these bases will support significant recoveries. The only metal that didn't see a quite reasonable move among these industrial metals here today was tin. It was up, but it was a small gain. And these are interesting patterns. I should probably post them for you, although you can look at them anytime yourselves, of course. And crude oil, again, it looks to me like the top was up in that sort of 71, 72 region for a while, and that it's susceptible for a bit more of a pullback. Also, I notice that natural gas, the US contract, has pulled back again. That's down 10 cents here today, down to 377. And I think that's pretty much it today. The really interesting story was the firmness of the industrial metals, led by nickel. So, roll on tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.